But today I want to talk to you about purpose. This is something that I come to a lot, it seems like, talking about purpose in life, because I think a lot of Christians don't live life on purpose, or they don't know their purpose, and so they just kind of exist. And I think that's way less than what God intends for our life. You know, He just doesn't want us to exist, but He wants us to do what He's called us to do, to fulfill the purposes and the things that He's put on the inside of us. He wants us to fulfill those things. And so, you know, I think we need to be living life on purpose. Like, who in here feels that they're fulfilling their purpose right now? You feel like you're in the zone, you're doing it, you're there. Okay, there's a few hands there. How many of you know your purpose? You're going that way, but maybe not quite there yet. Anybody in that boat? Anybody there? You're working on it, but not quite there. How many of you don't have a clue what your purpose in life is, and you're hoping God will speak to you today? Light from heaven. I heard the road to Damascus is a good place. Some people get that one. I don't know. Anyway. How many of y'all just want me to quit asking you to raise your hand for stuff? Anybody out there like that one? There's a few. Okay, good deal. Good deal. All right. But today I just want to kind of encourage you today when it comes to your purpose in life to not give up on it. Because it seems like so many people are not fulfilling their purpose in life. So either they don't know what it is, or they've given up on the dream that God's placed in their heart. And I hate to see that, because, you know, we're the hands and the feet of God. And we are the ones that are to be accomplishing the will of God on the earth today. And so if we're not fulfilling our purpose, then the will of God is not being fulfilled on the earth. And so I think this is a very important subject, something that we really need to look into. And we're going to actually look at the life of David, King David in 1 Samuel. I love studying David. There's two guys in the Old Testament I love studying. One's David. You know, that's kind of the obvious one. He was the king. He was God's chosen. But I also love to study Moses. I think Moses doesn't get the credit that he deserves, because he was a great leader. I mean, he led millions of people out of Egypt into to the edge of the Promised Land, with them griping and complaining the whole time. If it was me, either they'd be dead or I would be gone. You know, I just wouldn't have been able to handle that. And so Moses. But we're going to look at the life of David today, and we're actually going to look at two different stories in his life: the story of when he was anointed king, and the story of David and Goliath. And I believe as we look at these two stories, we're going to kind of look at it through the eyes of purpose, in fighting for our purpose and not giving up on it. Because, you know, if we're not fulfilling our purpose, then we're missing out. And we see in Acts chapter 13, God said that, you know, David was a man after my own heart. I don't know about you, but if God says that about you, that means something. And I want him to say that about me someday, that I was a man after his own heart. And hopefully today we can look into these stories and see why, and see what we can do for him to be able to call us that as well. But see, David, he had a great calling on his life. He was the second king of Israel. And, you know, he did lots of great things, great calling as far as being king. He had a lot of hardships in his life. He was faithful to God. There was tragedy in his life. There was sin and repentance in his life. And that reminds me of all of us. Because we all have those hardships and tough times in life. And we all have been called by God. We all have a great calling of God on our life. See, the most important calling in life is your calling. Because that's what you were made to do. And you need to see it as important. And so, you know, you have a great calling on your life. You know, you're going to go through hardships. You know, if you're faithful to God during the hardships and the tragedies in life, then God is going to bring you through so that you can fulfill that purpose that He's placed on your life. And so let's dive into this. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to kind of read through the stories and narrate as we go through and make some points. And because I think there's lots of good stuff here. So if you have your Bible, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to read verse 1, then we're going to skip to verse 6 and read a few after that. So let's look at this. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, who was the prophet at the time, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as the king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." All right, so here we see, you know, King Saul, he was the first king of Israel. He wasn't doing what God wanted him to do, and so he removes his spirit from him, and he's ready to go anoint the next king. Verse 6, when they arrived, Samuel saw I don't know how to say these words. I'm just going to make stuff up, and so it's going to be good. Eliab, and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." There's a whole message right there. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shema pass by Samuel, but he said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." And so he asked, "Are there any other sons? Do you have anybody else?" And he said, "They're still the youngest. He's tending sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Then Samuel went to Ramah. Okay, and so here we see the story of David being anointed king. And scholars tell us that David was about 12 years old at the time. Now, how many of y'all have a 12-year-old? Can you imagine your 12-year-old being anointed king? All right. So anyway, so they say he was about 12 years old at this time. And, you know, Jesse knew that Samuel was coming. And Jesse only had his oldest seven kids there when Samuel showed up. Now, I'm the youngest of my family, and so I can kind of feel David, you know, here, because he was the youngest of eight. And you know, being the baby, you know, you don't get a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for here? People don't put a lot of stock in you, okay? You know, you're the one that gets picked on. You know, you're the little runt. You know, and so that's kind of what David was doing. You know, the prophet's coming to anoint a king, and they don't even invite David to show up. They don't even tell him about it. But we see this really cool moment. You know, Samuel rejects all these, and, you know, bring David in. Let's see if this is the guy. And so David, he's just out there tending sheep. He's just doing his thing. And the messenger came up and said, "Hey, David, come here. The prophet's here. He wants to talk to you." David's like, "Oh, okay, cool. You know, whatever." And so he's walking in. And as soon as Samuel sees him, he stands up and he says, "You're the anointed one. You're the king." Okay, David just walked in from the field, dirty, nasty. And the prophet looks at him and says, "You're going to be the next king." Now he's standing in front of all of his family, all of his brothers. And this really cool moment happens to where he's anointed king in front of them all. And so this 12-year-old boy has now been anointed king of Israel. What do you think happened next? Do you think he ran to the palace? "King Saul, get out of my chair." You know what happened? He went back with the sheep and kept tending the sheep. His purpose was revealed. He's the king of Israel. But nothing changed. Nothing changed. He just went back doing what he's always done. Now, what in the world? That's not how God works, right? Yes. There's times in your life that God will reveal your purpose to you, but nothing will change. And you're thinking, did that really happen? Was this all in my head? Is that really what you called me to do? And so what I want to look at today is David's journey in fulfilling the purpose of God on his life. And it wasn't one of those things that, you know, like, you know, when we do things around here, you know, when we do things in America, we want it to happen. You know, we got the drive through at McDonald's. We got our microwave. You know, we want it to happen now. It needs to happen now. And so, you know, if he lived nowadays, David would be like, where's my throne? I just got anointed. Get out of my way. You know, but that's not the way that God always works. In fact, he was 12 when he was anointed king. When he was 36, he stepped into that position. 24 years went by from the time that he was anointed by the time when it actually happened in his life. See, there's something that David knew. See, most of us would have given up. Like, man, that Samuel, he's just off his rocker. He's crazy. He didn't know what he was talking about. But see, David knew God. Remember we just said that he was a man after God's own heart. See, Hebrews 10:23 said, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. See, David knew that God was faithful. He knew that God promised king that it was going to happen. But one thing that David didn't do, he didn't make it happen. He allowed God to make it happen in God's time. And I'm afraid this is where we mess up a lot of times, that we get this calling, we get this dream, we get this passion that God's placed on the inside of us, and we want to go and do it now. We want to make it happen. We want to go plant that church. We want to go start that business. We want to, you know, we want to become a nurse tomorrow. But that's not how it works. See, we want to do stuff now, but God usually has a process that he needs to take us through so that we'll be ready. At 12 years old, David wasn't ready. He was a shepherd. He hung out with sheep all day. That's what he did. He wasn't ready to rule a nation. So there's a process that David had to go through in order for his purpose to be fulfilled. And so today I want to talk to you about five things that you need to know in the fight to fulfill your purpose. Because let me tell you something. When God reveals your purpose to you, it's not going to be easy to get there. See, we have an enemy that doesn't want us to fulfill our purpose, and so he's fighting against us. And so if there's something in your life that you think you're called to and it happens easily, it's probably not your purpose. I'm not saying it can't happen that way. I'm just saying most of the time it doesn't happen that way. And so you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to go through some things in order to get to the place to where you can fulfill that purpose in your life. And we're going to talk about five things, and we're going to go through the story of David and Goliath. Because I believe that this was a divine appointment from God. I believe this was part of his purpose, was this fight with David and Goliath. And so I want to step through the story of David and Goliath and pull some things out and talk about these things. And so most of us know the story. Most of us, you know, were told the story growing up and all that stuff. But let me, in case you don't know, what's going on here is Israel and the Philistines are in a battle. All right, they're on the battlefield. Israel's over here. The Philistines are over here. And they're just ready to go at it. All right, the battle's about to rage. And we see David. This is just a few years after he was anointed. We're going to see David step in and take control of this thing. And so let's read this. 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. Said, then Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet. His bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He was also he also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as thick and as heavy as a weaver's beam. Now, if you don't know what a weaver's beam is, you're in good company, because I don't know what it is either. So. But apparently it was heavy and thick, whatever it was. It was tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying his shield. And so Goliath stood and he shouted a taunt across to Israel, to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? Said, I'm the Philistine champion, but you are only servants of Saul. Choose one man to come out here and fight me. If he kills me, then we'll be your slaves. But if I kill him, you'll be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight. And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Now let's just imagine for a second, a 9 foot guy walks in the back door over here. Armor from head to toe, got a guy in front of him carrying a shield. Man, I'm hitting the door. I'm out of here. I'm not sticking around to see what happens on that one, okay? I mean, I can understand what's going on here. They're scared. They're terrified. And one thing about your purpose is your purpose is always bigger than you. The purpose that God's called you to do is always going to be bigger than you. And it's going to scare you. And it's going to shake you up. Because here's the deal. Why would God call you to do something that you can do on your own? When he can call you to do something bigger than you, so that you have to depend on him, so he can show his strength and get the glory. See, God's never going to call you to something that you can handle. Because what's the glory in that? For him. He's always going to call us something bigger than what we can handle. Just like Goliath was bigger than what they could handle. 9 foot tall, 14-year-old David. This is what it feels like lots of times when we find out our calling. When God puts that dream or that passion or when he puts that in your heart, it should scare you. You should look at it and say, I can't do that. And God's like, I know. That's why you need me. See, when God called me into ministry, I looked at it and I was like, that's my 9 foot giant. I don't get up in front of people and talk. It's not what I do. I hide in the corner. When I was growing up, I was the shyest kid in the world. I mean, I hid in the corner. I wouldn't make eye contact with people. It came book report time in high school. I mean, it was like literally like, okay, you know. And like most of the time, I was so scared I wouldn't even read the book. And so, it was like a double whammy there. Like, I didn't know what I was talking about, and I'm talking in front of people about something I don't know about. And so, I mean, when God called me, I was just like, God, you got to be joking. Are you kidding me? I don't like people. I don't want to talk to them. I mean, come on. But I knew it was God calling me, and it scared me. I mean, it shook me because I knew I couldn't handle it, and I would have to depend on him to do it. And I'm so glad that I took the chance and chased that dream that God placed in my heart. See, your purpose, your calling is going to be bigger than you, and it's going to scare you, and that's okay. All right? So they're looking at Goliath. Man, he's huge. People are terrified. All right? So, you know, he's calling Israel out. Then we kind of cut scenes. We go to David's house. All of David's brothers are in the army. And so they're there on the battle lines seeing Goliath. And David's the only one still at home with his father, Jesse. And so Jesse being the nosy parent that he is, he said, take this food and go see what's happening in the war and come back and tell me what's going on. Because he wanted to know what his sons were up to and what was going on. Excuse me. And so David, he takes his baskets of goodies and he goes to where the battle's happening. Excuse me a second. I don't know where my microphone is. All right, I'm good now. And so he's going to the battle lines. And I could imagine like this 14-year-old kid coming up. You know, he's coming. You know, this is the army of Israel. I mean, these are the men. I mean, they're defeating everybody. God's on their side. Nobody can beat them. And so he's coming up to him. He's like, you know, like oh, this is going to be awesome, you know. And so he drops off the goodies. And about that time, Goliath steps up. Now, Goliath has been doing this for 40 days in a row. 40 days. And he just happened to show up the time Goliath stepped up and started to taunt Israel. And, you know, it blows David's mind. Verse 26. This is how David responds. He said, David asked the soldier standing nearby, says, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Now, that was a pretty powerful question. See, David was a man who knew God. He knew that God is faithful. He knew that when he went into battle, that God was fighting on his side. I mean, Israel had been defeating these nations that they shouldn't be beating, and it's all because they're the armies of the living God. And God was on their side, and he was beating them. And so he shows up, and he's expecting these mighty men, you know, about to go to war. And this 9-foot pagan Philistine. Why is he allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Don't you know who you serve? Excuse me again. So the second thing we need to know when it comes to fighting for our purpose is we need to be in the know. We need to be in the know. We need to know who we serve. We need to know that we serve the living God, the all-powerful, all-knowing God who created everything. Everything is at his disposal. That's who we're serving. That's who is calling us. That's who is enabling us to do what we're called to do. See, we need to know who God is. I have a feeling that these warriors didn't really know God as David knew God. Because if they knew who they served, if they knew who God was, then they wouldn't be scared of this pagan Philistine. I don't think they had that same kind of relationship. We need to know God's Word. See, as we look into God's Word, we see that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We see that if God be for me, who could be against me? No weapon formed against me will prosper. Those are some pretty bold statements that we can quote out of God's Word. And here's the deal. A lot of people hear that kind of stuff like, well, you're just arrogant. You just think you're all that, don't you? No, I think God's all that. He's the one that said that. I have confidence in Him and not in me. See, I have confidence. I have confidence in His faithfulness to fulfill His Word in my life. And so I can say those things and I can believe them and I can trust in that. This is the kind of thing that David had going on in his mind. Who is this pagan Philistine that is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? What are y'all doing? Don't you know who you serve? See, we need to be in the know when it comes to our purpose in life. That God is backing what He placed on the inside of us. And so David asked the question. And, you know, of course his brothers are standing around. Like, David, be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just a boy. You need to be quiet. Just be quiet. You're going to get yourself in trouble. And so like it, things got stirred up, man. Like this kid over here, he's talking some smack against, you know, Goliath. And it gets all the way to King Saul. King Saul hears that someone is asking the question. So King Saul's like, bring that boy to me. All right, now I would dare to say that King Saul knows about David by now. Because David has been anointed king. The Spirit of God has left Saul and is resting on David now. I'm pretty sure that Saul probably knows what's going on. And so David shows up on the battle lines and he's talking some big smack. King's like, bring him to me. We're going to talk. So let's look at this conversation, verse 32. David walks in, he says, don't worry about this Philistine. He said, I'll fight him. King Saul said, don't be ridiculous. There's no way that you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. He's like, don't be stupid, David. You're a kid. How are you going to beat this guy? See, here's another thing about your purpose in life. There's going to be people that try to talk you out of your purpose and your calling. See, you're going to start telling people about the dream that God placed in your heart, the calling that God placed on you, and they're going to say, you're dumb. Why would you ever do that? And see, here's the deal. The odds are stacked against you because you're called to something bigger than you, and people are going to point that out. I had people try to talk me out of going into the ministry because they knew I couldn't do it. And they were right. But I did not allow people to talk me out of what God placed in my heart. See, there's going to be those naysayers. There's going to be those people that are going to try to talk you out of it. Don't listen to them. If you know that God truly said this to you, and this is God's calling on your life, don't listen. Just keep going forward. And you know, he's right. You know, David's a boy. He's a young kid. How can he defeat the 9-foot giant? But it's not him doing it. It's God doing it in his life. Verse 34. David keeps persisting. Sounds like a teenager, right? Just keeps persisting. Asking. Good. Anyway, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, if it was me talking, I'm running the other way. But David said, I go after him with a club and rescue the lamb from his mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch him by the jaw and I just club him to death. I think he might be a little crazy too. Not sure. I have done this to both lions and bears. And I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Ooh, there it is again. He's showing his confidence in his God. Then he said, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lions and the bears will rescue me from this Philistine. So I finally can stand. He's like, all right, go for it. He says, all right, go ahead. May the Lord be with you. You know, I could just see Saul like, fine, whatever. Just go get yourself killed. That's fine. But see, here's the deal. We have to prepare ourselves before we can live out our calling. We have to have some preparation time in order to us to fulfill the purpose that God has given us. See, if David hadn't fought the lion and the bear, knowing that God was going to protect him there, he would have not been able to stand up against the giant, knowing that God was going to protect him there as well. See, we have to have some experience. We have to have some preparation in our life to be able to get to where God's needing us to be. And so many people aren't willing to go through the preparation time. And so they never fulfill what God's placed in their heart. They're not willing to do it. And so they never, ever make it. Let me say it this way. We need to be faithful in the little things so that we can prove we're going to be faithful in the big things. See, when you get the calling, God may send you back out to tend the sheep again. then God, you just called me. Why am I working in the nursery? You know, why am I still working for this joker? You know, why? See, we need to go through the preparation times. We need to be faithful where God has put us now. And instead of forcing our way to the top, we need to allow God to promote us in His timing. And this is where we fail most of the time because we want it now. I'm anointed king. I'm going to go take the throne. Well, you're not ready, you little 12-year-old boy. You need to have some prep time. All right, you need to allow God to work some things in your life, work some things out of your life for when it's time, you'll be ready. But so many people never reach the end because they don't want to go through the hard prep time to get there. We got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful. All right, so verse 38. Then Saul gave David his own armor. He's agreed to let him do it. And so he gives him his own armor, the king's armor, a bronze helmet, a coat of mail. And David put it on, strapped a sword over it, took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such a thing before. He said, I can't go out like this. He protested, I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. And he picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream, and he put them in a shepherd bag. Then he armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling. He started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Now this is an awesome picture right here. This is an awesome picture. See, when it comes to our calling in life, when it comes to our purpose, we need to use what God has already given us. See, God has already given you everything you need to fulfill what God's called you to do. He's already placed the strength on the inside of you. He's already placed, He's placed it all on the inside of you already. It's in there. So many times we look and see how everybody else is doing and we try to go do that and it fails. We're not supposed to do it with Saul's armor on. We're supposed to do it with what God has given us already. David had a stick and a slingshot. He's going to fight the giant because that's what he's always had. That's what he knows. That's how he fought the lion. That's how he fought the bear. And that's how he's going to fight Goliath with a stick and a slingshot. See, God's already given you everything that you need. It's already in your hands. It's already in your heart. See, we don't have to try to make up a new way of doing something. Just do what you know to do. You need to follow that passion. You need to follow that dream. You need to follow that calling in your life. And go for it. And we all know the end of the story. He takes the stone out of his bag, slingshot, throws a rock, forehead, boom, the giant hits the ground, cuts his head off. David wins. He fulfills that purpose in his life. Against all odds. He was young. He didn't listen to the king, but he did it the way that he knew God gifted him to do it. So as we wrap this up today, when it comes to pursuing your purpose, what God has made you to do, we got to know that it's going to be a fight. It's not going to come easy. I want to say, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't let the tragedies, don't let the hardships, don't let the preparation time stop you from getting to where God needs you to be. Because here's the deal, guys. We are the hands and feet of God. We are the ones to be fulfilling God's purposes in the earth today. If we are not doing it, then nobody will. See, that's why you're gifted. That's why you're called. That's why you're talented. That's why you have passions. That's why you have gifts in your life. See, if you're not fulfilling your purpose in life, then we're going to fall short. We need each and every one of us as the body of Christ to find that purpose, to go through the process and become what God needs us to be. Because if we don't, we're not going to fulfill God's purpose. We're not going to bring glory to God in this earth. So don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let the long time and the hardship stop you from what you're supposed to be doing. See, here's the deal. God is faithful. And as you are faithful, God will help you to fulfill that purpose in your life. See, it all comes down to are you going to be faithful or not? Are you going to do what God needs you to do today to get to where He needs you to go tomorrow? See, if you don't do today's job, we're not going to make it to tomorrow. We're going to stay here today until this is done. We need to be faithful to what God has called us to do. Be faithful where God has put you now and let Him take you to the next level. Prayer team, if you go ahead and get in position. You know, today as we're looking at New Year's, it's a time of reflection. It's a time of setting goals. It's a time to looking to better ourselves. My question to you today is, are you fulfilling God's purpose in your life? Are you on the road to fulfilling God's purpose in your life? What are you doing with your life? What are you living for? You may be here today and you don't know what God's purpose for you in life is. We're going to open this up here in just a second for you to come pray. But I believe that God is ready to speak something into your heart today. If you'll open your heart up to Him and listen, I think He's ready to tell you. I think He's ready to speak some things into your life. He might not give you the whole picture, but He'll give you what you need to be doing right now. Maybe you don't know your purpose. Maybe you've had the dream, you've had the purpose, you've had that in your heart, but you let it die for some reason. Man, we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. Maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never committed your life to Him. It all starts there. You'll never fulfill your purpose if you don't give your life to Christ. And so it begins there, to living a life of purpose. So as we worship to end this service today, if you need prayer for any of those, if you need prayer for any reason, if you need encouragement, if you need healing in your body, whatever, come up and pray. If not, let's all stand and worship and just give our hearts to God.